Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply.
Hi-yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 280. Oh, I just mentioned it to my co-host. I forgot already. 280. He's not allowed to talk either, so I have to do it on my own. 283. Welcome to episode 283. Let's dedicate it to my son, Nathan. Why not? Because he just started a new podcast with me tagging along, and it's already top 10 in Canada in music podcasts. So this goes out to Nathan and his Sloan A to Z podcast. If you want to listen to another fun podcast with me on it and with a co-host that interrupts me constantly like this one, then that's the spot for you. This is not a music podcast. And this person, this co-host on this podcast, I've kind of got whipped into shape now not to speak until he's actually spoken to, which is good, which is what all my child should learn that too. But this is a MMA podcast. No UFC this week, but that's not a problem, as you know, because my co-host is a savant when it comes to betting non-UFC, how about events? He's pretty good with UFC too. He's kind of hit and miss, hot and cold with UFC, but you know, he's not bad. He has his moments, but with regional MMA or non anything that's not UFC, we're gonna call regional, he kills it. That's what made him the Gumby God. I'm actually wearing that shirt as we speak. Go to the Sports Gambling Podcast store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get your Tuesday Night Miracles Gumby God t-shirt. I'm wearing it right now. It's nice and soft, just like he is. So let's bring him in, the one and only Gumby Freeland. Hello.
I'm glad that your son learned all of his tricks of podcasting yep. from me and not from you.
And he was like the guy who's banned for doing it on Sloan, the like main guy, like said that Nathan's the breakout star of the podcast. That really hurts.
Yeah. Well, you're too established of a veteran to
that's
be
true.
The breakout
I can't break
star.
Out now.
Yeah, yeah. That's like expecting a breakout from Andrew McCutcheon going to the Pirates.
Andrew McCutcheon. Yes, there's a call out. Andrew
yeah.
McCutcheon. He's
back to the. Yeah, you're kind of like Andrew McCutcheon. Yeah,
back to the Pirates.
Pretty reliable. You're always yep. here with me, even though you tried out something new for a little bit. Now you're back to the Pirates.
Yep, it's true. I always had him in my waiver wire columns last year, so that is that's a name I know quite well. Kutch. Maybe he'll make my waiver wire baseball waiver wire articles this year too. Who knows? All right. What we talked about this episode, Gumby, we talked about what last episode was PFL Challengers, even though they've already changed the fight on us after we recorded, but that's the way it goes. What are we doing this go around?
So this time we're going to talk about LFA 151. That one is live from Sao Paulo, Brazil, coming at you Saturday. And I've got some really good news about this fight card, which starts at 8 p.m. At Eastern time, of course. We're always talking about Eastern time, which is our favorite time. We are going to be breaking down that card, but also good news now, it has prelims that are now available on Fight Pass as well.
Oh, cool.
Card. So
we won't be breaking that down.
Yeah, yeah. You don't just get the prelims or the main card like you usually do. You also get the prelims. So very exciting. We won't be breaking those down. We'll just be breaking down the main card. But you can still watch them, and that's fun.
Yes, it is fun. As is trying to record with two dogs all over me and a kid walking back and forth asking me to help him with things.
I kind of tried to stall there. I don't know if you caught it, but I was stumbling over my own words. I was like, I can tell he's dealing with dogs or kids or both. And if I just talk a little longer, it'll be fine.
He's on the phone now talking to the grandparents. So hopefully that will occupy him for a little bit. So because I do need to tell you people about WynnBET before we jump into things. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays. And the NFL playoffs are here. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100. Limited to state availability. And, of course, if you hit the biggest long-shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. Hopefully, Dredney is getting in there. Dredney from the Discord is a killer, recently nailing props and parlays. So, hopefully he is listening. I'm sure he is. There's so much to choose from in life to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So they know we sent you that sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. But if you're 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available, if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. It is pretty funny looking at the podcast rankings. It's like New York Times, Rolling Stone, and then it's like my son's podcast is kind of silly. A 12-year-old is ranking up there with all these corporations that probably put millions of dollars into their work, but that's the world of the podcast.
You didn't give your kid $1 million to start?
Not yet, no. No, I didn't give him any seed money for it, so we shall see. The dogs are very excited that I'm recording somewhere different today, so they always want to be a part of me recording. So Gumby locks his dogs upstairs to chase after dinosaurs, but not me.
Yeah, that's true. That's because Michael Bisping gets a little too excited. So.
Well, so does Little Miss Lula. We shall see if she gets excited. They're now wrestling behind me. As we're gonna power through this anyhow. We're gonna do flyweights first, right? Yeah. Marciano Ferreira. Is it Ferreira?
Fajera. Yeah.
Fajera. That's what I figured. Yeah. Versus Matias Bronze. All right. Bronze. No, actually, we're gonna do Fajera first. 8-3, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. So he's been finishing all of his fights that he's lost. 0-1 in LFA. However, he's won 2 straight fights in 4 or 5. Plus 274, Bronze. Madrica, which means, do you know what that means? Madrica. M-A-G-R-I-C-A.
I don't, no.
Skinny is his nickname, which is, I guess, fitting if he is going to be a flyweight. 8-1, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in LFA. Which he won his last fight via TKO. He's won 2 straight fights. He used to fight at bantamweight, as most flyweights have done. 2 inches taller than Fajera, -349. Go ahead.
So first of all, I think you get the right line on this one?
All right, let me check again. You think I might?
I think you have the wrong line on this one. I think you have the line on Anderson Fajera, who we're talking about later.
Oh yes, excuse me, Matias Bronze, -180.
And Marciano Fajera +150.
Let me see. Yes, I am. Okay. That's why I'm not a breakout star, Dan.
Yeah, yeah. Things like that. So there are just 2 Fajeras on this card, and I had both those fights. I actually confused them when I was doing research. So that don't feel like you're alone on that one. So
you're dumb too. That's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also dumb, but I'm good at making picks on these, and I'm gonna take an underdog straight out of the gate here. I like Marciano Fajera. Here's the rough breakdown of how this fight's going to go down. Marciano Fajera is a brawler. In all of the fights I've seen of him, he's perfectly content taking one to give one. As long as he's going to be able to hit you with 2, he's very happy getting hit with 1. He switches stances mid-combination sometimes, which make him both a little bit deadlier and sometimes a little susceptible to getting smacked upside the head. And the thing is he also is not – man, this is not maybe the most glowing recommendation, but he's not the best defensively. In addition to allowing himself to get hit, he also like is one of those guys who, when he is being defensive on striking, it's just kind of more of a lean than it is a throwing up defense or cutting angles or things like that. So he just wants to get in your face and throw a whole bunch. So it's a weird style, but I actually think it plays really well against Bronze, who is a guy who, when I've seen him overly pressured, particularly early in fights, he shows up a little bit. He's a guy who kind of covers up and waits for the other guy to finish throwing rather than countering or doing too much circling. I think that's a problem against the guy who's completely happy being in front of you, throwing as much as he possibly can. So if Bronze isn't countering, you really lose all of that advantage that you would typically get against Marciano Fajeda. Marciano Fajeda is a guy you can take advantage of if maybe you're ready to return fire, or you're ready to counter, or hey, maybe you're ready to shoot a takedown when he overextends himself one time. And Bronze just doesn't seem to be that. In addition to that, I don't know that he's got the wrestling acumen to take advantage of Fajeda in that realm. So I think Fajeda winds up with a lot of advantages here, the aggression being the primary one. And I'm going to take him here at dog money out the gate.
He sounds like fun regardless, whether he wins or loses.
He's
going to get hit. So that's
in my LFA 151 article, which you can check out just in case you forget all the picks that I make on this fight card. I do say that he will probably be the most fun person to watch on this fight card, even if he's not the best. Marciano Fajeda is going to be a good time.
All right. How about the next fight? We're going to move up to featherweight. Jonas Bilharino versus Caio Machado, one of those mix and match Brazilian names, Caio and Machado. Probably Da Silva also, or De Souza added to the end. But all right, Machado, Lionheart is a nickname, 16-7, 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once, 1-2 in LFA. He's won 2 straight and 5 of 6, was a regional champ, used to fight down at bantamweight. 2011, he's been a pro MMA fighter since, so he's a veteran. Despite this, he is 3 years younger than Bilharino, plus 200. Bilharino Shiva is the nickname. 10-2-1, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 1 time. 1-1 in LFA. He did win his last fight. 1-0 in the contender series. Did he win with like a spinning something and he didn't get a contract? Is that correct?
He won by wheel kick. He beat Kenan Kawahe, if I'm not mistaken.
And why would he not get a contract for that? Dana loves spinning stuff.
Well, so the thing is about Bilharino is if he picked up that win now, he'd have been signed really quickly and he'd have a fight booked in a month. The thing is, he won that way, I think it was 2 seasons ago. And you'll remember back then, Dana wanted to be assured that it was like you were ready for the UFC back then. Yep. You know, he didn't used to sign everybody. Yeah. And Bilharino put together a pretty shitty performance in that fight. He was held against the cage a lot. He couldn't seem to get out of his own way. He threw a lot of spinning shit that missed. All things that kind of had Dana White off him until just like one thing landed. So he might have been losing that fight right up until he picked up a wheel kick knockout, and not good enough back then.
Okay, good enough. What else can I tell you about him? Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Used to fight at bantamweight. 2011 pro debuts. So both these guys are the same. Former bantamweights. 2011 pro debuts. He's 2 inches taller than Machado. 4 inches reach on him. -250.
So for the same reason Dana White was kind of off Bilharino, I was as well. I thought the fact that he got backed up too easily and that he wound up in too many clinches and, you know, that he only seemed to do the flashy stuff because it's flashy and fun and not because it worked. It all had me off of him. And then his first fight outside of the contender series, he lost that fight immediately. He lost to Jose Delano, who we'll talk about a little bit later on. And I was like, oh, that, you know, confirms my suspicion. He wasn't ready for the UFC. But in his last fight, he actually assuaged quite a few of those concerns for me. Not only did he manage to keep around some of the things that make him great, which is that he is kind of unpredictable and that his kicks are very fast, but he also seemed to work on his takedown defense, and he seemed to work on ways to be successful in the clinch and not just kind of like sit there and try to wait for his moment to get out. He started driving knees to the body and using that to get underhooks and then working away that way. A lot more technical stuff. So first of all, I'm a little bit higher on him after his last fight than I was before, when I was like kind of good that the UFC passed on him. And he's fighting the perfect opponent for him to fight. Caio Machado, really wide kind of winging hooks he throws. Everything looks like it's telegraphed. You know exactly what he's about to throw a whole second before he throws it. And in addition to that, like, his default stance is kind of like all up and high and tight. He does keep his hands close to his body, but like, he's not in a very athletic position when he's getting ready to strike. And I think when you remember that he's going to have, you know, a reach disadvantage here against Bilharino, and that Bilharino wants to strike at you from, you know, 6 miles away with 7 spins, like, a guy who's not using any length is going to have a very tough time with that against Bilharino. So I think Bill Arino's flashy stuff here is safe. I think it's okay. I don't think it's going to get him in any kind of trouble. And additionally, I think this is just the perfect opponent for him. So might be a little chalky, but I'll take Bill Arino here.
You swerved us, made us think you weren't going to take him, and then boom, he takes him. All right.
Me.
Yep. Always entertaining. We're moving up to lightweight. Milson Castro, Anderson Ferreira. Another classic Brazilian name. Ferreira. Buzica is the nickname, a.k.a. Do you know what that means? Actually, I'm supposed to ask you.
Buzica? I don't, but I do know they call him mostly Buzica. They don't actually call him Fajita all that often.
The Bush.
The Bush?
Yes.
Get out of here, really?
Yes. They call me the old Gray Bush. The hockey, the fantasy, SGP and hockey guys call me the old Gray Bush. So,
do you get that reference?
Yes, because I'm old and gray.
No.
What's it from?
It's a reference to a movie.
Something I haven't seen, right?
Yeah, it's a reference to Grandma's Boy. They call the old programmer... The old programmer at their video game company, Old Graybush.
Never even heard of that movie.
Huh. Grandma's Boy? It's a Happy Madison joint. It's
really?
No Adam Sandler in it, but like all of his buddies are in it.
Is Ferreira in it?
I don't think
Anderson
so.
Ferreira? No?
No, I don't think so.
Anyhow, he's the Bush. He's not old and gray yet like me. He's 16-4, 14 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. This is his LFA debut. He's won two straight fights, last one via TKO. Was a regional champion, used to fight at featherweight. 2012 pro MMA debut, 5 inches taller than Castro, plus 320. Castro, Henan Barão. His last name, his nickname is Barão. Do you know what Barão means?
I don't actually.
Baron?
Apparently.
Yeah, Baron.
Okay.
Yeah. He's 14-3, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions, been knocked out once, submitted once. This is also his LFA debut. He's won 13 straight fights. He's not lost since July of 2016. 2012 pro MMA debut. He also is a pro kickboxer. He's 3 years younger than Ferreira. I think he's taking this in short notice. Is that correct? He's a fill-in, at least. At the very
Castro?
Least. Yeah. I think.
Let me see what my sources tell me.
Let me check. Yes, Roosevelt Roberts was supposed to fight Castro, actually. So.
Oh, yeah. That's correct.
So, yep. Ferreira is the short notice guy.
Correct.
My apologies, sir. That would explain the minus 400 line for Castro. That would help explain that a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to take the dog money here. I know it's a huge swing on an underdog here, and part of it's because he's on short notice. But I actually think his style plays pretty well into beating Nilson Castro because – Castro is a guy who's kind of who's kind of utilized the idea that he's got very long arms and he works with a pretty long reach, because despite the fact that he's giving up 5 inches of height here, he's only giving up 3 inches of reach. So, you know, the height advantage clearly in Fajita's department, but not as much in the reach. But the problem is while he sometimes does a really good job of using that reach, sometimes when somebody gets into an extended exchange with him, he just starts to crowd them and he gets closer and closer and closer and closer to them. And then all of a sudden his reach isn't worth a shit. And like he winds up throwing, I've seen it in multiple fights. He throws this weird, like it's a mix between like an overhand right and a hammer fist at the same time. But what it winds up being is ineffective. That's the best thing to say that it is at the end of the day. It's wildly ineffective. So Castro does this thing where he like gets in too close, and that's not good for a couple of reasons. Number one is because he's better when he's at range using those long, lanky arms and stuff like that. But then number two, because he gives up clinches and he gives up takedowns and he gives up stuff in close range. Now, I don't think Fajita or Buzica, if you want to call him Buzica, is going to be the type of guy to look for. He is a Thai style fighter. You can tell from the minute you watch him, he's got that, you know, the high hands, they're turned like a Thai fighter. He picks up his front foot like a Thai fighter sometimes, and he loves uppercuts and knees right down the middle. So I think that if Castro winds up getting too close, you're going to see him get Thai plumbed. You're going to see him throw knees and eat knees. And in addition to that, even if he keeps the range, he actually doesn't have a reach advantage in this fight, right? Like, so even the spot where he's supposed to be his absolute best, he might be at a disadvantage here against Buzica. So I know Buzica's on short notice. I know that that's, you know, sometimes a sketchy pick to make, but also like, I don't know how short of notice this is because it's, you know, an LFA card in Brazil and they don't keep things up to date so quickly. And who knows, maybe he was planning on being on this card anyway, or maybe he was planning on fighting somewhere else recently, but like, man, I think stylistically Buzica can give a lot of issues to Milton Castro.
All right, there we go. Got me giving out the big dogs for you. We moving on to the co-main event is for the Alpha vacant strawweight championship. So you know what my next question is, Dan. Why is it vacant?
Why is it vacant? They signed Amorim, who is the Jackie Amorim was right. The strawweight champion. I believe it was Jackie Amorim, and the UFC has already signed her.
There you go. Okay. So we got Julia Pilastri versus Brenda Gottig for the vacant strawweight title, 115 pounds, five-minute rounds. Tell you about Gottig first, Arenita. So it's R-E-N-I-T-A. Do you know what that means?
Arenita. It's got to be small something.
Sandstone.
Sandstone.
Yeah.
All right.
According to the Google. All right.
That's a weird one because that's typically not a very strong stone.
Well, that's why you said it was going to be little. So there you go. She is a strong fighter, though, 6-0 as a pro, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. This will be her debut, so she's stepping right into a title fight. Used to fight at flyweight plus 240. That's all I got for her. Pilastri, the dragon. We know what that means. She's 10-3, 4 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in LFA. She won her last fight via knockout. She's won 2 straight fights. She went 0-1 on the Contender Series. She lost to
Jasmine Jesuda Vicious.
Yes, Jasmine Jesuda Vicious, correct. Was a regional champion. Used to fight down at atomweight. Is also a pro grappler. She's the one who has like a buttload of grappling fights. Someone I did research for had. No, it wasn't her. Never mind.
No, she is a pro grappler. It's got to be the one we're doing tomorrow, the first fight. Yep.
Yep. She is 7 years younger than Gottig, minus 300.
Yeah. So what did you say was the price?
Minus 300 for her, plus 240 for Gottig.
Man, did I see a much closer number recently?
Oh, fine. I'll check
it. Get on those numbers, dude. They've changed so much.
Yeah. I did it. Yeah. Because I did this last night. Let me see. That's the thing. They do change quite quickly with regional stuff. Minus 165 for Pilastri. So the money is coming in on Gottig. So it's minus 165 I'll give you for her, and I'll give you a plus 140 for Gottig. Is that better?
Good. Yeah, that's way better. That's way better. And for people who think I'm just cherry-picking the ones I want to, Anderson Fajeda, still also a plus 320 underdog even today at the time. So just for people who are wondering, why do the numbers fluctuate so much early on? It's because there are a couple of sports books that post these fights way before anybody else to try to get a feel for the market. They're offshore ones. They're not ones as great as WinBet, but they're offshore ones. And what they do is they post these fights with the numbers that they think are right. And then they post them with very, very, very low maximum amounts on the bet. So like you might be able to bet, you know, you might have originally been able to bet Gottig at that plus 300 number, plus 400 number you just said, but only bet like no more than like $5 or $10. Like that was the max bet on it. So they set those up so that they can get a feel for the market. And then once they've seen a couple of bets come in, whatever their size, they know a little bit more where it is and they can adjust it a little bit better. So this is the more adjusted line. It's the negative 165. And I'll tell you what, I love this line on Julia Pilastri. I actually think it should be close to what Jeff originally quoted me, which is that negative 300 where it started, because Pilastri's that much better than Gottig. I think she's getting a bad rap due to her loss to Jasmine Jesuda Vicious, who, first of all, is a very big, strong, powerful woman. And she was able to sort of take Pilastri down and control her and like body her up in the clinch. But as you mentioned, Pilastri used to fight at atomweight, and Jesuda Vicious could not make atomweight if she tried. And when that fight was on the feet, Pilastri was actually getting the better of a lot of those exchanges. I'll take Julia Pilastri here because Brenda Gottig, she's a fighter who fights with her chin, first of all, way up in the air. So I think she's going to get popped. I think Pilastri is the type of person who can pop her pretty much whenever she needs to. And I think the other thing about Gottig too is that while she's won a whole bunch by ground and pound, or while she's won a whole bunch by whatever other, you know, submissions or groundwork or in general like that, she's not particularly great at getting that to the ground. She kind of muscles her takedowns, and she's fought some very low level of competition. If you look at her record, and if you looked at any of the film on it too, it's even worse. So like, I think she's just kind of been beating up really terrible fighters on the ground. I think she doesn't get Pilastri to the ground, and the difference here on the feet is so astronomical. I think you're going to wish you had Pilastri at that very nice number.
All right. Get on it while you can before sharps like Dan mess up the lines on you. All right. Main event time. It's the tournament championship, featherweight tournament. It's not crowning a champion, right? It's just for the tournament championship.
Yeah, it's for the tournament championship. I don't know where it fits into their ultimate title picture, but this Brazilian tournament they're doing has been a lot of fun, and it's fun to be coming to a close. But yeah, I don't know how it fits into their overall picture.
All right, so in the finals, Jose Delano versus Gabriel Santos. And as I said, featherweights, they're doing five-minute rounds as if it is a title fight here. So Santos, Mosquitino. Do you know what that means?
Tiny mosquito?
Yes. Mosquito, yeah. But yes, Eno means tiny. So yes, he's a tiny. I don't know how you can get tinier than mosquito, but he's even tinier. He's 9-0, Santos. Two knockouts, four submissions. He's 1-0 in LFA. Won his last WBA TKO. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Used to fight at down a weight class and up a weight class, so flyweight and featherweight. Is a pro grappler, 1 inch taller than Delano, plus 205. Delano Z is the nickname, Zeddy. He's 12-2, three knockouts, four submissions. He's been submitted one time, 3-0 in LFA, won his last one via TKO. He's won 11 straight fights. He's not lost since April of 2015. He also was a regional champion. Used to fight at featherweight. Used to fight down at bantamweight, minus 255.
So I'm gonna
are those numbers okay for you?
What'd you say, negative 255?
Yeah.
For Delano, I think it's right around there. Actually, he might have even shot up a little bit. Let me get my.
It doesn't matter.
I got him negative 325 now, so he has shot up a little bit.
All right, 325 it is then.
So yeah, I should be fair because I took the better numbers on Pilastri and the better number on Anderson Fajeda. I might as well take the better or the worst number here to be completely fair. I will say this. I want to quickly correct. His nickname is Zay, not Z.
Oh, excuse me.
Because his name is Jose.
He's
just Zay.
That's actually good.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one and maybe not the most fun nickname. But yeah, no, Delano deserves to be like a negative 325 favorite here. He's really good. He's the one who beat Jonas Bilirino, who made me sort of confirm my doubts of Bilirino. But totally shouldn't have because Delano, he's a beast. He's super light on his feet. He's lefty. He's also, in addition to being light on his feet, he's really smart. He starts off being very simple, jabs and straight punches, keeping himself out of range, cutting good angles. And then once he starts to get comfortable, he really unloads on people and he's got a lot of power. I don't like how defensive he is early in fights. Because sometimes it looks like he's going to drop a round or two, but the good news is this is a 5-round fight. So even if he drops a round or two by being due defensive earlier, he's going to make that up later. And the bonus here, Gabriel Santos, he's coming off of a fight where early in the fight, ate a ton of leg kicks, early in the fight, got popped on the chin, almost knocked out. He rebounded mostly with his wrestling. He rebounded by, using that wrestling to sort of give himself time to recover. Actually, that might've been two fights ago, but regardless, he used that wrestling to sort of recover and then got back into the fight and ultimately won it. Now, the problem is here, you get popped once on the chin by Delano, you don't recover. You're out. You're cold. Number two, even if you do try to recover with your wrestling, the bummer when you're fighting Delano is so strong in the clinch. So even if that does wind up happening to be the way that you're trying to avoid it, I don't think you will. So give me Jose Delano here, even with the fat number. Maybe he's a good one to like parlay with Jonas Bilirino because I think both of those two, those numbers have kind of inflated a little bit, but I still think both of them out there are going to win this weekend.
All right. So there you go. That is all the fights worthy of making picks on. There's other good fights on the card. I take it, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of like fun prospects down there. Yeah. LFA 151 has got a whole bunch of things. And now you can watch those fun prospects, which you couldn't previously before. Go. So get in
my
on
my dog
those.
Doesn't want to, though.
Your dog or he's too excited for him. One of the two.
They're putting on a show for everyone. They decide they're going to wrestle. I didn't tell everybody when this card is. It's LFA 151, Delano versus Santos. Saturday. This coming Saturday.
I think I did, too.
Yeah, though, you did. Yeah, except 9 p.m. I have it listed at. You said 8. It says 9 on Tapology, so I don't know.
Their poster says 8. And of course the prelims are available. Right. I think they're available even earlier. I think you could probably watch those at like 7 or 6:30 or something.
And it's UFC Fight Pass, Sao Paulo, Brazil. All right, I'll give you all the dance picks and I'll get out of here and try to break up a dog play fight. All right, Delano.
Can we get Palastri. Odds on the play fight?
Yeah, it's true. The girl dog always wins, even though she's smaller. I think the big guy lets her win. Delano, a big favorite. Palastri, a small favorite. Fahea, a big dog. Bilharino, a big favorite. And Fahea, a pretty nice dog. Does that sound right?
That sounds right to me.
I don't have pretty nice dogs. I have a rotten dogs. All right. we're out of here. Make sure you get into our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Make sure you get into Twitter, SGP and MMA. I'm Jeff Fox Ryder. He's Gumby Vreeland. All our stuff's at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. God.
They love sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Yes. They love it.
They love it.
The dogs are barking at LFA 151. There's your
make sure you listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast of Gumby's other podcasts and read my stuff at moneymma.substack.com. And that's enough. I've had enough. Until we meet again, which will be tomorrow, I will remain Buzica, the gray Buzica. I don't know how to say gray, but in Portuguese, but I'll be Buzica Jeff Fox. He will remain Madrika Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.